What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another Slab Stock Sundays episode, episode 113 here on the PWCC Weekly Auction with our partner that runs one of the best marketplace auctions you can find out there. And there are thousands of cards ending today. Not only is this auction the best, but we've got one of the best in the house tonight, Andrew from St. Croix Cards and Slab Stocks FC, man. Julian is in currently traveling back from the Big Ten tournament. So it's the first episode of No Julian in quite some time. But, man, I'm happy to have you, Andrew. Let's do it tonight. I'm pumped.
Hey, I'm excited. I can't fill the shoes that Julian has, but really excited to be here, ready to talk some cards and just enjoy the auction.
Wonderful. Well, I hope everyone's having a fantastic day. I still got to rep the Badgers, even if we took an L today to Illinois. You know, it's actually part of my DNA now as a Badger fan to watch championship losses, if that's in the Big Ten or Rose Bowls and such, as I'm wearing a Rose Bowl sweatshirt. So I'm not too affected today. At least we know that where we stand today is better than where we stood 2 weeks ago.
They're looking pretty good. They've turned it around. They had a rough stretch, and you know, they're playing good basketball, taking down Purdue and then toe-to-toe with Illinois. I mean,
yeah,
the tournament, they got a tough draw though. James Madison is nothing to.
That was a tough draw, and having to be in the same bracket as Kentucky, Duke, Marquette, and Houston is no easy draw either. And I actually think that any of those teams that arise from the Final Four out of this bracket will be the most battle-tested through the tournament.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kentucky and Duke have got their kind of inconsistencies, but still Kentucky and Duke, two teams that were top 10 as of a couple weeks ago, and as of Wisconsin, they were top 10 2 months ago, although, you know, kind of really did bad after that. And has picked it up though. I mean, being Purdue once again, I'd hate Purdue, but no slouch, good win. Yep. You literally are looking at five teams that resided in the top 10 at one point, probably at the same time this year. Yep. I'm serious. That's insane.
It's going to be a fun tournament. I'm ready for Thursday.
I am too, man. I'm pumped. And I just got done specifically ripping another six cases of Bowman's Best University Delight Basketball on Fanatics Live. Of course, PWCC is a Fanatics marketplace. Then on Fanatics Live, we do all of our breaks. And I've now personally ripped 52 cases of Bowman's Best University Delight Basketball in the last 5 days, with one off day being Friday. And it's been pretty much a blur since Wednesday's release day. So 52 cases done. And I think we have hit 23 super fractors in that time, with three greatness awaits super fractor on card autos. So it's been a fun time, to say the least. Thursday on day one of March Madness, we'll be back for another stream of that. So hope,
man, it's gonna cool too. I'm not a basketball guy, but it's got to be nice to actually have these players and have cards as this tournament rolls around. You got to think that's going to be right.
That's the thing, is that we actually have had Bowman U sets since 2021 ish, but with all the ways that the products were released, the first one, a non-licensed set, which honestly the class was really weak with basketball, is like Chet Holmgren and like Caleb Love and Baycott were the first in there, and that was it. Really weak class, but it's non-licensed too, so no one really cares about the set too much. Last year's set with Caitlin Clark and Wemby released in June after March Madness, or late May, and this year's set is the first one, or this is the first March Madness that actually we have licensed cards of these players, and many of the players that will be in the tournament now too. We haven't really seen that in the past. So it's going to be an awesome March Madness, man. I can't wait. And I can't wait to talk about more cards in tonight's auction, because there's some fun stuff in here. Andrew will be sharing his favorites. And Andrew's no stranger here. I think you've appeared on at least 2 to 3 episodes in the past. But now this is Andrew's first time with, I think, no Julian on here.
Yeah, I know. I miss Julian already. He's got to come back quickly.
Yes. Well, I miss Julian, but I'm happy to have Andrew here to say the least. So TB Incognito says, speaking of players, there's 100 Dickinson in the auction. It's mine. Oh boy, if we're talking players that I, as a Badger fan, I'm not too thrilled about. I'm just messing around, man. I'm not gonna say it right now. I hope that your card does very well. 100 Dickinson, Bowman Chrome Auto, Orange Shimmer here is TB Incognito's. That will be selling tonight for him, and he is a Kansas player that I think got hurt, so I'm sure he hopes to see him back, or all anyone who grabs it too hopes to see him back in the tournament. I'm still hurt last year, man. Off, I think it's like a buzzer beater game winning three hit against us. I think it might have been the Big Ten tournament, so I'm still hurt from that. That's where my disdain comes from, Incognito. All right, well, hey, let's hop into tonight's auction, and we're just going to lead it off here with a question for those that are in the house right now, and I want to know, if you had to hold a card for 10 years at the current price point, okay, keep in mind, this is not just you get the card. At the current price point, if you had the money, Would you rather have this Victor Wembanyama Mojo at 25 PSA 10 from Prism? This is a pop one. It's the first PSA 10 we've seen one up for sale. Raw do around 16 grand, and it's a 22.5 pre-buyer's premium, pre-extended bidding. Or would you rather hold for 10 years a Caitlin Clark Super Fractor Auto 1/1 PSA 10 Prime Signatures, which is one of, I want to say, only, I think, around four on-card Super Fractor autographs that she will ever have, considering she had two in that set, this one in the Sharpshooters, and then she has two in the Bowman's Best University set that just released, none of which we've seen pulled. So, Andrew, I want to get your opinion, and anyone in the comments, I want to hear yours as well. Andrew, let me know which card for 10 years, but you got it. You know, obviously you don't have, likely, I'm assuming, the money to buy the Wemby, but if you did.
teacher salary here. No Wemby. He's tearing it up in the NBA. He's doing some great things. I just, you know, I know the Caitlin Clark train is moving in full tilt, but I think she has that ability to transcend the WNBA. Like, she has a chance to like be Steph Curry for the WNBA for years to come. So if I'm going to like pick, like, Wemby's going to be a great player in a long line of players who have come before him, but like, I don't think he's going to be, you know, he's going to change the game of basketball. I think, you know, he's a freak, right? But not everybody is that. So like, Caitlin Clark can transcend an entire, you know, sport of the WNBA. So on that, and like what she's going to mean for, you know, young girls and like people who aspire to be players, I kind of equate her to Steph Curry in that sense of how she can change the game. So if I'm locked in, I'm going Caitlin Clark in 10 years.
I totally want to hit on one of those points you said, where you brought up like Steph Curry and you bring up Wemby. I think that like Wemby is a type of player that is a combination of many players we've seen, but he just has like all of it put together in one. But his height is absolutely ridiculous. Like, that is another thing that's not very common. But like the kind of the long or bigger guy that can handle the ball, get to the hoop, and then you've got kind of KD in him where he can shoot threes. But it is kind of all the package into one. He plays amazing defense. But from a popularity standpoint, like, Steph Curry is as popular as he is, not only because he's the best shooter ever, because every kid out there, I've seen it before, okay? Just as you're in education, I've been involved in my city and playground camps when I was in college and stuff. These kids were obsessed with Curry because they can act just like him. They can pop a three or a deep jumper and, you know, think that they're Steph Curry. How many kids are running up to the hoop and dunking like LeBron, you know?
Yep.
Like, I just think that, like, what Caitlin Clark can mean for the game of basketball in the WNBA, well, people are probably going to call both of us crazy because Wemby, I think, is kind of like he's the box office. He's the big ticket in the NBA. The NBA is massive. He's international, all that stuff. I also want to point out the fact that four on-card Super Fractor autographs is like nothing. Like, that is nothing in the grand scheme of the market and the collecting universe and who is interested in their cards. Wemby has got, I know he obviously has more prisms than just this. He's got more number than just that. He will have way more rookies coming down the line. He will get multiple different types of on-card autographs through Topps Now program, which they've already released like four of them. There is just many things that will come of Wemby in the next year. This, and I get that it's prism, but it's out of 25. It's a pop one, which could easily become a pop two or three. And I'm going Caitlin Clark, especially for the money. Part of me really wants to buy this card. Another part of me says, if you want to get one, get the one that you've been talking about that you love, which is The Greatness Awaits out of the new Bowman's Best You. If that card pops up and I have a legit chance to get it, I might actually try to do it because I'm obsessed with how those cards look. They're the best Bowman U cards I've seen released. And, but either way, man, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. Anyone else that has any opinions on the early question of the night, please let me know. And TB and Canoe, definitely not in the Big Ten anymore. But good luck on your auction time. I hope it does well for you for sure. Well, Andrew, I like that. I like that answer. And Big John goes Wemby, though. And I can't blame anyone that does go Wemby. I mean,
can't blame anybody.
Not at all. The dude is unbelievable. It's unreal watching him not only play the game of basketball, but like even just all those highlights that hit and the narrative, media talk about him and stuff. It's great to see for the NBA, I think, to have another generational prospect who actually hopefully lives up to the generational prospect tag, as we've seen Zion not.
Now, again, I'm not well versed in NBA. He's doing this on like a minutes count, right? Like he's not playing full games. Is that correct?
So he's now at first to start the year, he was at like around 25 minutes per game. But in the end, like, dude, he's averaging 29 minutes per game when most stars are averaging like 35 to 36.
Yeah.
So, and he's averaging as a rookie 21 points per game, 10.3 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game, a steal and a half, and 3.5 blocks per game. I think he leads the NBA in blocks per game. Now, I don't know if this is possible, but if there was ever a year where we saw him lead the league in most steals and blocks, that'd be insane. I think he's one of the players that could actually do it. I mean, he's unreal, man. Unreal. And that's not to take anything away from what Wemby is, you know. But, man, what a player. And both those cards are sick. So good luck to anyone bidding on them, and hopefully you all enjoy them tonight. Big John says, as great as Clark is and can be, women's sports doesn't have the same popularity as NBA, and the NBA is marketing Wemby every chance that they get. I do agree with you, but I also think that we could see a switch in how the narrative about, you know, how the WNBA is covered actually happens with Clark getting there. And I would be shocked to not see what's happening right now follow her there, although women's college basketball is much more popular from like a fandom perspective.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark has got millions of fans now. I mean, and don't think that those people won't watch her and the media won't cover her when she's playing professionally.
Yeah. And I think you also have to, like, it's almost a perfect storm because Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. Iowa has no professional sports team. They are all in on their college sports and their players. When they go to the NFL, Iowa players sell really well. Like, you're going to continue to see people support her into the next level.
100%. I agree with that. And once again, if anyone else has anything else ending tonight on auction, please let us know. I know that Incognito dropped a comment. I think that Hector dropped a comment. You said Swift cards. You talking DeAndre Swift? I mean, I gotta ask. I mean, you say Swift, but it could be Taylor Swift, I guess.
Could be.
Let's see. I'm looking it up. I'm looking up Swift to see what we see here in this auction to try to highlight them. Let us know, Hector, if what the cards are, if you want us to, and we can highlight them. But let's start the night by we're gonna go from, so Andrew's got 5 cards I asked him to highlight in tonight's auction. We're gonna go from a card that Andrew likes, he's gonna talk about, and a card that I like, I'll talk about. I'm just kind of go back and forth here to cover some of the different cards in the auction a little bit more in depth. So Andrew, why don't you kick us off here? What's up?
Well, you took my Caitlin Clark super. So do you want to skip that one?
Yeah, we might as well skip that one. If you have got a backup option to throw in here eventually, go for it. But let's just skip the Clark since we already hit on it, and we can move on to the next one.
All right. Well, one of my favorite cards is in the auction tonight. 2017, Topps Chrome, purple, Kylian Mbappe, out of 250, PSA 10. Last time I looked, I think it was at like $1,500. It's probably a little bit north of that right now. I wish it is. But I love this card. We all know soccer, Topps Chrome 2017 is the set. And I love this card from a perspective of the color match, purple on purple. Just a beautiful card, beautiful set. It's one of those on my list. Someday I will acquire a card like this. But, you know, this is one that I think it always is a good gauge of like where the market is too, soccer card wise, because, you know, it is one of his earliest cards. So I picked the Kylian Mbappe just because it's close to my heart and one I want.
Now, in the end, like, this is considered a rookie card, but you got to remember this rookie sticker is a 2016 foot, but we did see his first cards come out for 2017 Chrome Champions League, and 2017 Select was his other first card as well. Now, Andrew, you know, a lot's going on here with Mbappe right now. Leaving PSG confirmed now, we know. But no confirmation on what's next.
Yeah, we know he's leaving, and all the rumors are attached to Real Madrid, and that's probably the destination, but he hasn't come out and said it, and nobody has said anything, you know, other than that. But we know he's moving on, which it'll be interesting, you know, with them in the final eight of a, you know, on a bracket in the Champions League that is a pretty easy road to the finals. Anything's possible. He leaves PSG with a Champions League trophy. I think it does his market a little bit more. I still think he's right in line for a Ballon d'Or, you know, this coming year. He's had a phenomenal season. We'll see. I think what he does at the end of this year is going to be a good test to how he's remembered at PSG.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, like, dude, what actually happens if he wins the Champions League in this final year? That'd be the weirdest thing ever, given that, you know, he's basically been he has been PSG for pretty much a stretch of the last 5 years now. Is that like a happy ending? Is that like a, dude, you just won this and now like we're mad you're going? Like, cause right now as a PSG fan, I'd be like, bro, you've been so hyped up and we've won nothing. Like,
yeah,
that's how I, and he scored a lot of goals, most goals in club history now, but like, how would you feel as a PSG fan?
I think personally it's one of those where I think he's leaving to win. And if he wins, it's just a weird situation. But you also have to remember PSG is only like 50 years old. Like the club itself is not old at all. So like he's holding all the records for PSG and, you know, it's a club in its infancy still. And they just have a lot of money that they splash and bring in the biggest and best names. So, you know, I don't see his, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be a fan. I mean, how many fans does PSG have? I mean, in a sense of like, are they PSG fans or are they Mbappe fans?
That's true. I will say those PSG fans in France are pretty rabid fans, like kind of like bang the drums,
yeah,
chant all games, you know, light off flares. I don't know about the numbers of them compared to obviously like the, you know, the biggest clubs in the world, like Chelsea, of course, and Manchester United and Liverpool and Manchester City. No, I'm just kidding. I was about to say City and make you mad. I'm just joking. I'm messing around. Yeah, Arsenal out there too, and Real Madrid and Barcelona. But I don't know. It'll be a fun watch for sure to see how this year wraps up and going into next year. But I do want to point something out here for greater goal cards really quick. A nice Musiala orange and blue electric of 10 SGC 9. And this is from that Bundesliga set after his rookie year, but it actually is the same design as his rookie year stadium club card. So cool one there.
It's a cool card.
And Munich though, man, like, do you think Leverkusen's going to stumble? Every single time I looked at Leverkusen might stumble, they've recovered in the same match.
They, I mean, like we can honestly say now they don't lose.
Yeah. I
mean, what is it? 37, 38 straight of without a loss across all competitions.
It's insane.
Like absolutely crushing it. I just think it's, you know, super comical that Harry Kane leaves Spurs to go win a trophy, goes to Bayern, and now is going to come up second place in the Bundesliga to Leverkusen.
It's pretty crazy, ain't it? Man, it's wild. Really, really, really wild. All right, moving on from that, we'll revisit some of Andrew's card next, but I need to move on to one of my cards here, and I want to talk about this Pete Alonso here. So any Mets fans out there, have got a potential big addition that they can make to their collection tonight. And don't forget, everyone, 24 minutes away from extended bidding, the first round ending. So make sure to find those cards you might want tonight. Bid on the cards to get them to the next window if you do want them. Otherwise, you know, sit back and watch the show. But this is from the Transcendent set. So what happens is that each year they release a set called Transcendent. I don't even remember if they've done this though for recent years. I don't really remember like last year being an official like Transcendence set, unless I was wrong and I just didn't really remember it releasing, which is possible. But what they did was in 2018, they started releasing these throwback Super Fractor autos where they take the current players and I think even some retired players maybe and put them onto 2000 or in the 1952 design. So in 2018, we physically saw like Juan Soto rookie Super Fractor auto in a 1952 design, like the Mickey Mantle is designed. We saw Otani, which is a massive card in the market today. I actually sold here on the Premier Auction, I think like maybe 6 months ago or something like that, or 8 months ago. And now in 2019, they went 1 year later and made the 1953 Super Fractor 1-1 Transcendent rookie autos. Now, I don't really remember there being a 1954, like a Bo Bichette Super auto, because that's Hank Aaron's rookie year, and I feel like I would have remembered it. But I do think that these cards, while it's not a normal release, to me it feels like these are some of the top baseball cards that you can get that isn't going to be like, dude, a Pete Alonso Red Bowman Chrome first auto out of 5 would probably sell for like, I don't even really like know the exact value, but I'll throw out like 7 to 10K on that. I don't know how much it's worth today. But as a collector and as someone who just loves like rare cards and like sought after cards and stuff like that, and just like ones that are not the normal run of the mill, this is super, super cool in my mind, and it's at 2100 right now. I do want to pull up the Otani though, because I think that the design is worth showing, and I am actually intrigued to see if the one from 2018, if it is Super Fractor all the way through the card, which it is. I thought the old design, the one the year before, was a little bit better. Nice. So this is the 52 design, Super Fractor all the way throughout the card, which is a big deal to me. So this one isn't as nice of a design as a 52 where like they just have the background photo behind it. But yeah, this was the Ohtani I was referencing. And I don't know if the Soto has ever made it onto auction here or not that I can show, but the Soto, it has actually, oh my gosh, in 2020 on the weekly auctions, $9,300. My goodness. Yeah, that's quite the card, man. It looks amazing. I love that card. I think this is like, these two Ohtani and Soto's are some of the best cards that have released for the rookies. But yeah, that was one I wanted to highlight. And I agree, vintage looking current star autos are cool, even cooler when you throw the super fractor onto it. And I got to throw a good evening out there to SCP7 and to Oscar. Thanks for joining tonight, guys. But there you go, Andrew. That's my next card.
That's a good looking card. And Alonzo is like, I mean, are the Mets still relevant? Help me out.
So Mets had, Mets basically had one of the biggest failures of a season ever last year when their payroll racked up to some ridiculous amount. And then they ended up really failing badly. And they traded away Verlander and Scherzer before the deadline and basically just packed it in and then said that they're still going to compete this year. But people like Pete Alonzo are like, yo, are we really competing for trading away all these guys you spent a bunch of money on so fast and blowing it up? So I think that they're retooling mostly for 2025. They brought a couple prospects for those guys.
Okay.
But let's just say they're a massive flop last year, to say the least.
Got it. So no good teams were coming out of New York last year.
No. The Mets missed the play. And the Yankees missed the playoffs too. Yeah. Last year was a terrible year for New York baseball.
Got it.
What's next up, Andrew?
Well, I'm going to take a look at the 2000 Bowman Chrome Refractor, Kurt Warner.
I love it. The only guy that I know I would pull up a Kurt Warner refractor PSA 10 tonight.
Heck yeah. So great. Totally a late 90s, early 2000s football guy. This is my childhood right here. I love Kurt Warner's story. You know, I mean, basically playing Arena League football and then all of a sudden, you know, winning a Super Bowl for the St. Louis Rams at the time. The interesting thing about this card, though, this PSA 10 is a pop one. So if you look at the back and you look at the black borders, it's a very difficult gem. It's an old PSA holder, but I don't think this card has sold since like 2019, and it sold back in 2019, I think, for like $125.
And this is the same year as the Tom Brady.
Correct. So it also is like an interesting wrinkle to that because with the Tom Brady and the Bowman Chrome refractors, the interesting thing with this one to me is that you're probably not going to see a whole lot of it ripped anymore. I mean, it's just too astronomical to make this stuff. So pop counts aren't going to really change. And like, if you're a Warner fan, like, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl winner, has been to a couple, you know, most of his time with St. Louis, but also Arizona. I just, you know, and he's still kind of relevant. He's around in like the broadcasting scene and stuff, but I really like this card. And, you know, I like rare, I like scarce. And this is a card that kind of checks all the boxes for me.
I think that they nailed the refractors in this year's set too, man. That looks like a picture, man. It's awesome. Like, it's so good.
Yep. I love early Bowman, like 90, I mean, even 99 and 2000, you know, Bowman Chrome. I like the cards aesthetically too. I think they look pretty nice and the refractors do really pop. I've got a couple of some different players that from that year, not the Brady at all, but you know, some of the guys that, you know, there's a player that's from my hometown, Ross Kalaji. He went to the University of Wisconsin, but he's from Stevens Point originally. And so I've got some of his cards for the Giants, and he's like a seventh round draft pick. But all that came out of Bowman Chrome in 2002.
With you, you know, I know you know your football from back then. Real Music says greatest story in NFL history, two MVPs. Because he was CFL before?
He was arena football.
Oh, arena football. Cool.
That's right. He was arena football. He made it like 2 days at the, for the Packers in training camp, and he cut. And then he was a backup in St. Louis, and I think it was Trent Green that went down, and he jumped into, you know, Dick Vermeil was like, we're going to rally behind Kurt Warner. And everybody's like, who the heck is Kurt Warner? And then all of a sudden you get the greatest show on turf with Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk. And I mean, they just lit up the league to a Super Bowl, and that he really never looked back. I mean, he had a great career, and then he even revived his career. I think he spent some time with the New York Giants and then
the Cardinals,
Arizona, and they almost beat the Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They lost to Pittsburgh. So yeah, really great, you know, great story, you know, and great. Just, you know, I just love those kind of like overcoming all the odds stories, and he's the epitome.
Right. Funny enough, like for me, like I know him as a Cardinals player. I know that he obviously was the best with the Rams and stuff like that, but I only watch football. Like, I was like, you know, getting a football in like 2006 and 2007, 2008 when he was like on the Cardinals, you know? So for me, that's how I knew him, but you know, obviously I missed the greatest show on turf. So that's
bad for me. I mean, and it was incredible. You watch him and like what people do today, you know, just, you know, the ultimate aerial assaults, like that was that, like they brought it into existence, like what they were able to do. And then you had Marshall Faulk, who, you know, not only run the ball, but, you know, caught, you know, 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving. Like it was, I mean, as a Packer fan, it was, you know, you were just glad they weren't in your division.
Seriously. Yeah, man. And Real Music said grocery store worker. So that's crazy. That's really
when he was
crazy.
Doing his, you know, Arena League stuff. Like he was working at a grocery store, like restocking shelves.
Wild.
You know? So, I mean, like from like that to the pinnacle of winning a Super Bowl, pretty impressive.
100% impressive. 100% impressive. All right. What did Wemby have tonight? Let's look. Let's see what Wemby had. Wemby tonight versus the Nets. I think 33 points, 14 for 26 from the field, 1 for 7 from three. Imagine what his field goal percentage would have been if he would have hit a few more of those. But he had 33 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks.
Sheesh.
Dude is insane. I don't know if he's still playing, but he did play 36 minutes tonight. So he's kind of getting that minute total up now. Glad to see them unlocking that. And they won in overtime too. So Spurs picking up another W. And one of the funniest things in the NBA this season was Kyle Kuzma tweeting about how you don't want to be the team to lose to the Pistons. And now you look at the standings and the Wizards are worse than the Pistons. It's so funny. That is called don't put out stupid statements on social media when you're not even good. One thing to be like a 3 seed in a you know conference and say that. Another thing to be right there with them and now pass by them.
Oh yeah, the Pistons didn't they lose like 28 in a row or 29 in a row or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's like 28 in a row, and then they end up ending like winning like 5 of the next like 20 games probably or something like that. All right. Next up for me.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's
hear it. All right, so this right here was one of the most interesting cards to release this season, I think. So it's not the one that I highlighted on our Instagram page that was, I think, I grabbed by SGC as a super cool foil fractor, but this is from a very affordable set in the World Baseball Classic top set they released after the World Baseball Classic this year. It was like an on-demand set on their website. I think it was like $80 a box, and you're guaranteed an autograph in each box with a chance of relic autos. Well, in the relic auto set were really cool patch autograph and jersey autos of Ohtani. And they are, I believe, let's click on this quick. Yeah, game used Japan jersey of Ohtani, which is awesome. And this one's a PSA 6 with a 10 autograph, which is obviously not a good grade. But the reason why I bring this up is not only to say, one, this is a very cool card, but two, I'm super interested to see what the price movement happens with these cards over the next 2 months, because Baseball Dynasty for 2023 releases on Friday. It's going to be one of the most high-end sets of the year that Top Size releases, one card per box. I love Dynasty. I actually need to give a quick shout out. You guys always got to shout out some PC pickups when you have them, right? I just got the logo Man Yelich 1/1 in the mail this weekend. And that's from Dynasty. So I'm a huge Dynasty fan. I've got so many Yeliches. And also shout out to PWCC. I got some game used Yelich cleats back there now. Also from PWCC. Well, the logo man wasn't, but the cleats are. Long way roundabout to say that Dynasty releases on Friday. I saw a preview that has got Ohtani World Baseball Classic patch autographs in the set. On card, not sticker. Dynasty, not an $80 on-demand box. You know, if this was the only type of World Baseball Classic relic out to release, I mean, if they do big numbers for a long time, now there's gonna be something that comes out there that kind of like trumps them as a card, you know.
Yep.
I wonder if we'll see some price movement downwards on them, because they're an inferior card from a card standpoint, like sticker auto, you know, an on-demand set, not a dynasty set. The patches aren't going to be as good on a lot of these. You know, I'm just intrigued to see actually just what happens price wise. I don't know, but we'll see.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, does it stay relatively the same and Dynasty is just that much more?
That's exactly. Or people say, wow, Dynasty's 10 grand a card. I can't afford 10 grand a card. Maybe I'll just go out there and get one of that. Maybe create some more volume because people know that they can't get the Dynasty if they're too expensive. We'll see.
Yep. That's a good shout.
No idea. Just an interesting thought, though, after seeing that. Let me know if anyone has any thoughts on that, too, with Dynasty upon the horizon. All right, Andrew, what's up next?
I'm going Christian Pulisic.
Ooh, okay.
2022 eminence, auto out of 10.
All right.
You know, I think, you know, for deep dive soccer guys, like they, you know, if you're U.S. men's national team, man, you're following him. You know, he leaves Chelsea and goes to AC Milan. But if you're just kind of a Premier League watcher or you aren't kind of in tune to Serie A or any other leagues, you might be missing him having a great year, you know. And I think we got to kind of keep in perspective that he's still, you know, Captain America. And this year with regular playing time, which is something he didn't get at Chelsea.
I can attest to that,
you know, and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, but, you know, AC Milan playing regular, playing every week. Across all competitions, 12 goals, 8 assists. I mean, that's more goals than he ever scored in a season at Chelsea. And so he's really kind of, you know, honing his skills in Italy. He's playing really, really well. And so I think, you know, minus the World Cup, he's not in the limelight. He's not being seen each and every week, you know, on NBC or USA with the Premier League. And so there's a lot of things, you know, I think his market's come down quite a bit. So an on-card, no, this is sticker, isn't it? This is the one thing, right?
No, that's on card on Eminence. They're on card. The only ones that weren't on card were Pele's for obvious reasons.
Yep. So, you know, you got an on card auto of a really, really desirable set. And I think it's a winner. So I was interested to see kind of where that goes towards the end of the auction. But we got to kind of take note of what he's doing for AC Milan. And they're currently sitting in second in Serie A. They're probably not going to catch, I think, Inter's 12 points clear, 13 points clear last time I checked, but solid second place, Champions League, they're doing well.
So my question is it a fail for Inter Milan to get eliminated by Atletico Madrid last week?
I think it is, yeah. They needed to move on. I mean, Atletico Madrid, you know, they're not playing that well in Serie A or in La Liga. You know, you should be able to handle them. But obviously it didn't happen. So they're gonna win the league, which is great, you know. But I think their fans were looking forward to a little bit more.
Yeah, especially after last year's final appearance in Champions League.
And if you think about it, like, I mean, what it did, Atletico, they drew Dortmund, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're essentially looking at a Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, if you could get it done, nothing against Dortmund, but you know they're not having the strongest of seasons either. So you're going to get one team that's kind of a you know, an easy train. That's why I come back to PSG. Like, if they win theirs, they're going to play either BVB or Atletico, and they should make a final.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so my next card. Woo. It is Wemby, but I bring this up for specific reasons. Donner's Choice Black Gold of 8. But this is a raw card that NBA reviewed for this auction and deemed it to be altered.
Oh,
who in their right mind is altering a multi-thousand-dollar 2023 modern card or any card for that matter? But like, even more so, it's like, just in the end, it's like, what are you doing?
I mean, any details of like what is altered?
So I was trying to figure it out. If you look at the back of the scan, it like highlights the entire right edge as yellow, which kind of tells me like maybe they are trying to highlight the back edge as the reason why. Cause like normally you don't see the entire edge get highlighted. It's like one of the spots where there's a nick. And I was trying to look at the back and see the scan and be like, well, is there anything? I mean, kind of see here that looks a little white. Maybe it looks like that. So I don't know, man. Was someone trying to slice part of it? I have no idea. Was there white corners? I don't know. Either way, all I know is that's wrong for sure to alter any cards for that matter. But just seeing a card like this, like, it's just like, bro, come on, man. Like,
walk me through that. Well, now that PWCC has looked at this card, like, does that send like a flag to all of the graders?
In the end, like, I don't think that there is any interconnected system that would be like, hey, watch out for Wemby out of 8, you know, certain.
You have the number.
Certain, no, yeah, whatever the number is. That's where is it? It should be on the front somewhere. It's just really hard to see on some of these. The pattern and the, I don't even know where it's numbered, honestly. I don't open these cards, so I don't have like a good recognition.
No, that's okay. I was just curious because it's like, okay, well, you know what card it is, you know what the serial number is.
In the end, like, yeah, of course, you know, it'd be better for them to know. I don't know. Maybe they do have some type of system just now where, oh, there it is. I finally see it, man. I saw it only when they on the video. It's right here. It's buried. Right in
the spot.
Yeah, 5 out of 8. So, hey, I don't know if anyone's looking out there, 5 out of 8 is this one guy that got deemed as altered. But, yeah, just a really interesting situation you don't see very often. But I, in case anyone was bidding, just to, you know, kind of let you know, like, hey, if you did see that or if you didn't see it, well, there it is, you know, just and it just got bid again. So I guess someone wants it out of 8 no matter what. So,
you know, I guess, like, for me, is it just to have, or like, what bidding on it? Like, what is the play if you get that card?
Keep yeah, it? I got no idea, man. I wouldn't buy it. So it's not,
yeah,
no
right. idea. I mean, I'm not, I mean, if I know it's an altered, I'm not, I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't even
cards that I would, you know. There's a couple cards that I feel like some older, like vintage soccer stuff that is, they're good to look at, and I just want in my collection, so I'll buy them.
Yeah, but that's like a $30, $20 card type correct. Of thing.
You know? Yeah, it's not a $1,600 8 Wemby rookie.
Yeah, Wemby, exactly.
58 Grincha that I'm like, this looks really good. I just want to have this.
Exactly. All right, next up for you. You ready?
Woo! Yeah, next up for me, 2016 Spectra. Martin Odegaard, Global Icons, red auto out of 65, PSA 8.
I saw that.
Woo, baby.
Here it is.
Got to throw in an Arsenal, you know, a little bit of an Arsenal. We're sitting in first place right now, you know, with 3 weeks off. I just think, you know, really, I love Martin Odegaard because, you know, at 15, 16 years old, he gets the big move to Real Madrid, and he's like the next wonder kid. Kind of struggles, you know, to find form, and he ends up at Arsenal on loan and then a permanent deal. And, you know, he's been it for us in the midfield, and, you know, what he's been able to do. I'm hopeful for a Premier League title. I don't know if it'll happen, but just to be in the conversation in a three-horse race with City and Liverpool and us, it's going to be a dogfight to the end, but, you know, I'm excited for it. And this is one of his earliest autos. He doesn't have a whole lot of autos or hadn't until this year, 23. Some autos have started to pop out, but, you know, what he would mean to Arsenal fans if we won the league, I can't even put it into words.
He's already imagining the league winning day,
dude. It's been 20 years.
I know. Man, what do you think, man? I mean, I don't know. Every team kind of looks like they're susceptible in some manner, but you guys have been pretty good recently.
I think we've played well. I do think that we have the toughest schedule down the stretch.
Yeah.
Well, we've got, I mean, if Arsenal is able to win the league, absolutely. Oh, captain, my captain. If Arsenal is able to win the league, they will have earned it based on how we have to finish. I mean, we play Man United. We play Spurs. We've got to play Chelsea, who have been pretty good. I think there's one more tie. There's a tie with Man City coming up here right after the break. I mean, we've played some very, very tough games where if you look at Man City's schedule, it gets pretty easy. They'd have to slip up pretty hard.
Man, what would that be, man? Is that 5 in 6 years if they win it?
Yeah, but, you know, it's all going to be marred if they
yeah.
You know, when the hammer or the gavel comes down on all of their financial issues, we're going to be like, yeah, they won 5 out of 7 years, because who wouldn't if they are found guilty? And again, that's still a big if, but if they're found guilty, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't even look at them as, you know, real championships.
Exactly. So everyone can just now start to claim their fake championships like Liverpool. And, yeah. And wait, were you guys second or third last year?
We were second.
Oh, so you guys too. There you go. Yeah. You can claim. You
know,
which
is even like more, you know, a little bit more of a grind, but, you know, I just hope that they get, if they were in the wrong, they don't get off scot-free because they're Man City, you know, because we're seeing Nottingham Forest and Everton get point deduction.
Like, yeah, seriously. Those dudes, those are tiny clubs that are, you know, just like, I don't even know exactly how they're getting nailed for that stuff. But,
and I think Nottingham Forest is going to come out tomorrow that they're going to have a point deduction.
Really?
So, yeah, that's.
Was that from when they bought like 40 players in like a 6 month period of time?
Yep. And didn't really sell anybody either.
Yeah, like, come on, man. What do you think you're going to, like, do? Not get caught or something like that? I mean,
yeah.
It's super random.
But I think they need, like, the Premier League to keep their their stability and who's in charge, they've got to come down on this and say, you can't do this.
Right. Right.
But Odegaard, oh, captain, my captain. So he's on my list here.
Austin says single and double FFP violations versus City's 116 charges. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it could be real news. Like if City gets relegated from the Premier League based,
that would be insane.
Cause you know, people aren't staying. I mean, Holland's not playing in the championship or wherever they get.
Yeah. Right. De Bruyne's not, Pep's gone. I mean, their club would fall to pieces in like a day.
Yep. It would be, you think of like what happened to Chelsea when Abramovich sold the club. And you were still in the league. Like, think of what would happen. You know, I don't think Pep's hanging around because he's always said, right, they're lying to me, I'm gone.
Exactly. He has said that. I mean, he's straight up said that like interviews too, which is like, but he also like believes them as of right now, right? But he's like open to knowing if they're wrong type of thing.
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know. It's going to be real interesting.
Agreed. All right, so we're 30 seconds away, everyone, from the next round of bidding. I'm about to drop a bid on a card I'm looking at tonight, but
me too.
I want to point out this Drew Gilbert here for Skydiv, who was in here earlier. Skydiv has got this blue wave auto Drew Gilbert going down, and there's also an orange in the auction too. But this, I know that this PSA 10 here, Drew Gilbert is actually the prospect that got traded to the Mets for Verlander. So in the end, the Mets basically bought prospects in that trade because they are paying off Verlander's massive salary as he's on the Astros, but they're getting in return, you know, top outfield prospects and such like that. So I just got my bid in. Andrew, how are you looking?
I got my bid in too. I don't know if it's going to be enough to seal the deal, but hopefully I get a win tonight because I'm liking the card I'm bidding on.
I'm liking mine too, so I'm hoping that I get it and you get yours. I mean, kind of rendezvous after this, one of these extended bidding windows, and see something, see some good action. What's up, Tony? And yeah, man, good day for Man U fans. What a game that was. I was kind of bouncing around between all the different sports today, but I tuned in at a few different times, man. What was that, two goals in extra time for Man U?
Yep.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, it was not, I mean, even like, I mean, who would have thought Antony scoring a goal? I mean, that like never happens.
Right? Right.
I mean, it's only his second goal this year.
The other one, I forgot who the other one was against, but was it the Prem League? I
don't know. No, it was FA. Yeah. He scored both of his goals in the FA Cup.
Yeah, I know, man. That's crazy. Unicorn twice. I know you're, this isn't one of mine to highlight, but I know you're a Harry Potter guy.
Yeah.
You got the Professor Flitwick on card auto from Ovio Art Box.
Yep. Like Art Box is what basically all the autos are out of. And so I really like this card. The fact that it's a 9 is a really, really good grade. Art Box doesn't tend to grade really well. And you can kind of see it's a paper card with a really, really dark background, especially the Sorcerer's Stone stuff. I think it's a I'm a big Harry. I mean, I grew up with Harry Potter, so I'm big into the I haven't dipped my toes in the autographed waters yet just because of price point, but they've got some cool, like, you know, used relics from the cast and the characters that you can get. And then they've also got like original film cells from like the trailers that are pretty cool too. But the autos are kind of the big draw, and you'd be surprised, especially when you start getting into like, you know, Emma Watson, Daniel Radcliffe, like those autos, they do real well.
Yeah, definitely. Like massive, massive numbers out there. Yeah, Tony, congrats on your dub. Hey, I got a win today too as a Chelsea fan. Unfortunately, we now drew City, so we get to watch a fat L here in about a month. But
you never know.
That's true. It's, you do know.
The magic of the FA Cup. The fact that Coventry put in two goals, you know, to in a Haji Wright go US men's national team, getting the winner.
Is he on Coventry?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
So, and he scored the game winner to put him to take him to Wembley.
That's awesome. That's super cool. And that, I can't believe that's getting to the final four. Who did it? Did they beat anyone else marquee outside of Wolves?
I'd have to go back and check because I do like to watch the FA Cup, but I love it when my team's in it. And when my team takes an L real early, it's kind of like, dang it.
Yeah, that was a while ago, wasn't that?
Yeah, we haven't really lasted too long in the FA Cup lately, which is disappointing for sure.
Yeah, man, 100%. You got one more in your list, or is that it for you?
Well, I mean, if we're going to stay on the 2017 train of Topps Chrome, there's an Iker Casillas.
I could have swore you were going to go for the N'Golo Kanté.
Nope. I think, you know, and this is me. Like, I know goal scorers are what sell in soccer, but, like, when you have some of the greatest goalies of all time that are in this set, you know, and for relatively affordable prices, I think, you know, this is a good one for me. You know, when you're looking at something out of 25 of the iconic set for a guy who won the World Cup and was just phenomenal in all of his years playing, I think it's an interesting, you know, window as we look, you know, future, you know, because we're going to look back and think Iker Casillas. We're going to look at, you know, Manuel Neuer and even like Gigi Buffon, and they're all in this set and they're great goalies. And at some point, I think they'll get somewhat of a tip to the hat and people will acknowledge how great they were.
Not to mention just the set in general is as you mentioned, legendary. Yeah. And the colors are present as some of the best that I've ever seen from that specific set, which also includes some of the baseball as well from that year and stuff, but really awesome set. And there isn't an N'Golo Kanté. It was a purple PSA 10 that's still running there. So yeah, I love watching him for Chelsea. And unfortunately, you know, he left, but in the end, I don't think the owners were going to really entertain him along for too often, given just how the club was changing. But either way,
and he's a body, right? I mean, I haven't heard what he's doing or what, you know, but I mean, for a good stretch of 7 to 8 years, he was, I mean,
what was the term?
Every club that he played for.
Give the term. What was the saying for,
you know, what's it? Something, that's good.
It's like, was it
60%
like
of the world is covered by water. The rest is by Kanté.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
That's the one that I remember. But yeah, the awesome set, sweet card, and I love the highlight. I'm going to flip to Sean brought it up too. I had this pulled up as I was going to finish off here, but Ethan Salas, Super Fractor Auto 1/1 is from Bowman's Best Bowman's Best Baseball. Mine's totally on the University basketball kick right now, but Salas is the first or the youngest top 5 baseball prospect in the MLB pipeline rankings ever, I believe. 17 years old to hit the top 5, catcher for the Padres. I saw him smoke some baseballs in spring training this year with the big league club. That's not in like the summer or in like the prospect showcase stuff that they've been doing. That's like, you know, out there with the big guys. And it's not to say he's going to turn into an all-star and everything like that, but all I know is that there still is a finite amount of Super Fractor 1/1s I've hit the market of him at this point. I can guarantee you as he stays in the prospect rankings longer, we will see more. I think we've all seen, obviously, at this point, it's not going to work out for people. But, and you know, he's probably never going to play baseball again. But Wander Franco had a million Super Fractor Auto 1/1s that were released because of how long he's in the prospect rankings for from 2019 and 2022. But his card's releasing just in 2023. You know, we might be seeing one more year of prospect rankings. And if he does actually get called up at some point this year, which I'm not saying he is, but I know that there's at least some chatter that it is a possibility that he could see some time at some point. And maybe he doesn't, but maybe he is a 2025 rookie class player for Topps. Like, that's only two issues of prospect cards. And this would come out of his first year cards of Super 1/1. Would I be a buyer on this? No, just because I don't really want to get into risking that much money on a guy that I don't personally like have too much fandom for. But I think that it's an interesting card if people do, you know, want to get in the prospect game that don't want to spend like 2.5K gold first because you're like, well, it's on 50 and it's just not my type of collecting. Well, if you do have, you know, some money to spend on cards and you do like Super Fractors, there are not that many that have released of him. This actually might be one of only three. This the Bowman Chrome Sapphire Super Auto, and then the actual Bowman Chrome First Super Auto. So there probably isn't a whole lot out there right now.
Is he like? I mean, is he coming out of high? He's got to be an international prospect, right?
Yes, he was an international signing at one point, and I think it wasn't like this past year's class. It was like the class before that, I believe. Let me just check really quick. I think he was signed. Yeah, he was signed 7 months after his 16th birthday, January 16th, 2023, for $5.6 million.
Okay.
Crazy. That's crazy. Dude, 16-year-old signs a $5.6 million contract. That's unreal.
He could buy a lot of cards in this auction.
definitely he could. He could probably buy out every card in this auction combined. I don't know about that. I guess it depends on the vintage that's in here. I shouldn't say it too soon. All right. If that is it for Andrew and that's it for me, we're just going to check out this auction as it ends now. And any questions anyone wants to ask, we'll field as we go. Now, I think that the Wemby did sell. Let me see how I can get to this. Go ahead if you got something.
No. I'm interested to kind of see where the Caitlin Clark's at too.
Yeah, that thing might have also sold. Let's see. So the Caitlin Clark did sell for 8-1. Right there, and then the Wemby was 30.6.
Jeez.
Wow. 30,600. How do we feel about that price, everyone? How do we feel about that price on the Wemby? That would put it, you know, at the time I wrote a newsletter on this on Saturday, it was already sitting at his seventh most expensive card ever, and that was at like a bid of like 25-ish K. I think this basically puts it at his third most expensive sale of all time, behind his one of one Bowman's Best University Super Fractor Auto that sold from last year, set 67K, and then his one of one Inception on card auto from last year's Bowman U Inception that sold for 36K. So there you go. Crazy, crazy business.
Crazy, crazy.
Yes, sir. And Holland Transcendent Gold Auto of 10 is at 2.5K as a PSA 6. A couple of PSA 6s in this auction.
That are doing pretty well.
Yeah, seriously.
Just to show you that the grade doesn't mean a whole lot when the card is scarce and desirable.
Exactly. Definitely does not. Which in the end does kind of follow the trend of buy the card, not the grade. And I have to say, I think I did end up losing the card I was going after tonight, which I've been trying to get a nice Giannis back in the PC. Noir is my favorite basketball set. I really want to bid more. I'm considering it. I love the spotlight signatures. I actually think I own this card back as a sophomore in college. The back of that card looks very clean, and these cards are not easy, you know, with all the black boards, but I actually want that so bad.
Do you have a Giannis in the collection?
I had a few over the last few years. Some of them ended up leaving, so I don't even think I have a Giannis auto anymore. I had that flawless. I had the contenders. That was a way too high of a bid, but we'll see what happens here, and if I can win it. I'll take it, though, if I win it.
It's a good-looking card.
Ooh, a little feedback there. Yeah, no, it was nice for sure. Tony says, hey, Aaron, sorry if you already talked about it, but did Churio play in the spring breakout games this week? He did. And in all honesty, I was streaming for probably 30-plus hours in the last few days. Bowman's Best University Delight nonstop. So I have missed a lot of baseball spring training action that I would have maybe seen otherwise. So if anyone has seen any of the spring breakout news, please let me know. I know Vinny from Down the Farm Prospects was actually at the games. So I'd be intrigued to see if there's anyone's reporting anything back.
I'm starting to get upset with my card.
Oh no, you're gonna end up like me and just throw in a bid just to try to win. Or maybe you'll have restrain like I don't have.
No, I just bid again and I'm like, I probably shouldn't, and I just bid again, so we'll see.
Julian, you just talked down into yourself, man. That's Julian.
No, Julian, come on now. I can't. Dude. It's too big of a seat to fill.
James, if you're right on that,
whew,
I would be freaking. I'd be doing backflips here, which is impossible. So I'd probably hurt myself. But
he's still a teenager, Churio?
Yes, I believe he's
still 19 or 20.
I think he's 19 as of right now. His 20th birthday must be coming up pretty soon. Nope, he actually already turned 20, which was March 11th, so literally 6 days ago.
Okay.
20.
Got it. I mean, he's playing. Like, he's going to start where the Brewers up, right?
Well, like, I was talking to Vinny, and Vinny's putting it like a 50-50 shot right now, which does not make me too confident. 50-50. But, like, here's the deal. There's one side of the coin where you're like, oh yeah, let the guy just like settle in to start the year in AAA and then bring him up pretty soon. I swear, if he isn't up within the first month or two of the season, I'll be hacked. Giving out a $100 million potential contract to a guy pretty much should dissuade the owners and everything from any sort of like service time stuff. Where like in the past, those guys like, oh, hold him for like 3 to 4 months so you get that extra year of service on their contract, everything like that. At this point, that shouldn't matter. He has a set agreement with us, you know, yeah. Like we know how long he's here. Get the value now. And in the end, like I heard that Blake Perkins, he's told me he was in like a sling today or something like that, who's our fourth outfielder or maybe fifth outfielder as of right now. So maybe it opens up a way that I think that a lot of the reason why he maybe wouldn't be on the opening day roster is because we wouldn't have space on the 40-man roster for him, because we'd have to add him because he's never been on the Brewers like main roster before. And to do that, we'd have to make a trade. We'd have to trade Weimer or trade Perkins. But if one of them can go on the IL, I think it actually buys us time to like do something like that and figure out like at the start of the year what we want to do versus just make a decision before the season starts. So we'll see.
Now, remind me again, because his Bowman Chrome firsts, he doesn't have autos in that first, right?
So he did not have autos in Bowman Baseball, which is where his first release, but he had autos later in the year in Bowman Chrome Baseball, which was the same image with the first logo and the autograph.
Got it.
So sometimes when guys don't have their first or their autos in the same set as their first, they like do a different design and they release autographs without the first logo. Luckily, they kept the same design, put autos into Bowman Chrome, and everything's all good. Now, that didn't mean that we didn't get true blue autos of him, because they didn't do true blue autos in Bowman Chrome. They did like HTA blue refractor autos, but I don't think that he had those maybe either. So, or maybe he did. I just don't see him too frequently, but in the end, no true blue autos. And yes, James, we are massive Trio fans. At least I am. I know Andrew's a baseball fan when it comes to playoff time, I'm sure. But yeah. You do fantasy baseball, don't you still?
I used to. It was one of the things that had to get cut. It was a dynasty league, and I was in it for, you know, 10 plus years. And finally, I was like, I just don't have enough time to dedicate to baseball. So I gave up my seat. I gave up my my team. So I left somebody really well off. I hope that they can do something with it.
Do you have one marquee player to give yourself a shout out on? Who was your marquee player over the last decade? Maybe not even right now. It's stuck in the roster. Who is like your guy?
Oh, well, I had Mookie Betts. So
nice.
He was, you know, and I had Fernando Tatis Jr. Before, you know, and then I had to ride him through the whole
steroid deal.
So he was a big one for me too. And then I was loaded up. I had Garrett Cole too as one of my pitchers.
Well, how many teams was in this league?
It was a 16 team league.
What?
So we can trade draft picks, you know, we can trade future year draft picks. Like it was a lot of fun, but I mean, I didn't listen to enough like podcasting and baseball stuff anymore. I'm like all soccer all the time. And so I'm always behind, because like I can never pick up the guys quick enough. I can never, you know.
You're telling me that my dude had Mookie Betts, Garrett Cole, and Tatis in a 16 team league, and he says he wasn't good?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was okay. I mean, I was playoff bound every year. But the thing I don't like about baseball is it's like, it's such a crapshoot when you get to the playoffs. You know, like, I mean, you have to, you know, when we did the, you know, the head to head stuff. So there was like, you know, 16 categories, and I couldn't, you know.
The category stuff always killed me. I tried to play a couple years of category stuff. I'm like, dude, why am I looking at like who has got the most walks? And like, I'm not saying it's a bad stat. That's a really good stat. But it's just like, you know, it's so weird how to build a team like that.
Yep, absolutely.
When with points, at least, it was always like, oh, Ness, I'm just going to take whoever gets me those points, you know?
Yep.
Either way, though, I know that you always used to talk about that, so I had to check in.
Yep. But I gave it up. I, you know, I've got other things that are more important and I enjoy more. So.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, sometimes you got to figure out how to make your life a little bit more balanced. So good for you.
Yep.
But either way, I know we've been talking a lot of soccer tonight, but I'd be remiss if I don't bring up this Messi because on-card auto, this was his first Topps on-card auto, but it was released in like a high-end one.
Yep.
Or it was like a full autograph set where there's different parallels, a full non-auto set. It wasn't really like a hobby release. So his first Topps hobby release on-card autos that were live in pack ended up being the finest MLS. However, there is supposedly a second edition Topps Chrome PSG set releasing for the 22-23 season, which would include Messi in it. And I think at this point, does anyone care about Messi PSG? I mean, I know that even back when he was on PSG, it was always like, does anyone care about Messi PSG? Now to release a new set when we're into the 24 season, about to be into the 25 season, like that's a 22-23 release. He's been on Inter Miami for nearly, you know, a year now or whatever.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, he didn't do anything at PSG. I mean, there's no. I mean,
he had a couple cool free kicks. That was about it.
Like they didn't win a Champions League. They didn't do anything, you know, worthwhile. And he didn't have the greatest time there either. Like he didn't play particularly well for PSG. I mean, yes, it's an on-card auto of Messi, but I mean, if you're gonna spend $1,100, I'm probably gonna try to spend even a little bit more and find something in Barca kit or national team kit.
Right.
It just doesn't check any boxes for me in the sense of, you know, I mean, unless you're a PSG fan and you want one for the collection.
Yeah, man, I got you. Definitely. Tonight I do have some giveaways that have been chilling in the vault that went unclaimed. So I'm going to filter through at least one of those tonight. I got a Derek Jeter that we're going to give away. So I'm not going to go win a new card tonight. Just so I'll make sure someone actually gets this in their hands. It's a Derek Jeter from Topps Tech, at Topps High Tech, number 99. So we'll end up giving that away tonight for whoever is going to be in here. And yes, Real Music, Messi does have cards in the MLS stuff. Topps MLS was actually the first one, the Topps Paper MLS. And then Topps Chrome MLS released soon after that, which had non-autos and like variations of the mystery autos. And then he also was in Topps Finest MLS, which had the on-card autos live and the new idols, which are like the high-end insert, only 175 between the bronze, gold, and silver. So 5 seconds left here. I know Andrew's watching to see if he gets the dub. I'm watching to see if I get my dubs. I think I just got both.
I got my dub.
I'm a little nervous.
Overpaid on my dub, but I got my dub.
What is it? Let's check it out. Let's see it.
So I did the 2003. I won my 2003 Upper Deck Manchester United PSA 8, which also sold for the same price as the PSA 9. The difference between the PSA 8, I went after the PSA 8 because it's jersey number 16 out of 16. But it's the gold edition there. These do not pop up. Roy Keane is an absolute legend. Anything early 2000s, tough to find. And so I'm okay with, you know, I told myself if I was under 200, I'd be happy. So just a really cool card. I mean, Man U is Man U. Legendary in the early 2000s. And some of this stuff that, you know, as an Arsenal fan, you have to appreciate the rivalry between Arsenal and Man United during this time. So super pumped to bring that into the collection. That'll kind of stay home for a while, I think.
So I actually really like this card. I think this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like to have the direct quote or like the captain, like definition on there, it says one who leads or supervises, AKA Andrew, a leader of a sports team or side, and then synonymous with Roy Keane. It's such an awesome card.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, I don't see a whole lot of that stuff pop up. So when it does, I try to, you know, he'll be a legend for a long time. And how many early sets are numbered to as low as 6? Because all of the gold sets from this 2003 is numbered to jersey number. So, you know, all of his golds from this set are out of 16.
Yeah, that's extremely cool. Yeah, I like it, man.
I like it. I haven't bought a card in a while because I've just been kind of hawking and looking. So I'm super pumped about this one. And this is kind of a throwback to a different era and a different time in the Premier League.
Good deal, man. Well, I end up with two wins in that window as well. I talked about how much I like the Transcendent Superfractors. There was an Eloy Jimenez ending in the auction. Whoa. It's not $2,000 Pete Alonso, but you know, Eloy Jimenez was a massive, massive prospect. We're talking a top five prospect in baseball back in 2019-ish, late 2018-ish.
Yeah.
And he's had some tough sledding at Chicago White Sox with injuries, but the White Sox as a whole, they just traded Dylan Cease. I'm 100% trying to play the Eloy Jimenez trade market here. It's the Superfractor Transcendent 1/1 rookie auto. Like I already said, I just like the cards in general. No, I'm not going to keep it for forever. I don't really care about Eloy Jimenez from my own personal collection standpoint, but as like an opportunity, I do think that one is a good price for what the card is given the rarity. And then two, he actually had a pretty solid season last year overall. And if there is a trade market there for him to land on a team that needs a back into the playoffs, you know how those trades go down and people react when he gets on the hopefully a big team. So that's just kind of like my thoughts here. And it's just something that's not going to pop up very often. I don't think we really see these key transcendent super fractals pop up very often. And I want to go for it.
And his big thing is has just been health, right? He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, like, you know, he massive power in the bat. But if you look at his seasons, man, his rookie season had 31 home runs, and that's been his best home run output. And then his, in the COVID year, he had 14 home runs at 891 OPS, which was his best OPS output. But, like, in 2021, he played 55 games. In 2022, he played 84 games. But he did get back up to 120 games last year. So I'm hoping that a full season for him pays off. And I actually think at one point he was leading spring training in hits this year, although it's spring training, so let's not get too crazy, right? Like,
take it with a grain of salt.
It's a risk. Don't get me wrong. It could completely flop, but a risk I'm willing to take in a card that cool. And then also I couldn't let this thing sell. That's sick. Just look at this. Well, I guess we'll look at it like this, but just it's so amazing. So I'm going to have to get that thing in and probably slap it and put it back there on my shelf, on my PC shelf back there, man. I love that car. I had to get a Yonis Auto back, and I do think I owned it at one point. I probably bought it for $100 back in 2018 or 2017, but, you know, whatever. Pay 10X now. It's fine.
Pay 10X.
It's fine. It's fine. It's no, I'm just messing around, man. I love it, though. Big fan of that. That's definitely a PC card. I had to at least find something I wanted to keep, to be honest. And At first, I thought I'd go after a sneaker spotlight, but in all honesty, as much as I love the sneaker spotlights of just of all players, I think what I appreciate it more is actually a quality signature. And my only thing about Giannis that I don't really like, not about against him personally, really, is just that the way that his signature has developed over the years has been very terrible. So this is what it looks like in the 2018 sneaker spotlight, the first sneaker spotlight set. That's actually the one I want. But this signature is just much more defined and large. And then you look at even like
I like his rookie autos.
Well, yeah, his rookie autos are great. I want to see if I can find the little bit more recent, even the little bit more recent ones. Let's see if I can what is that?
Yeah,
I mean. He's literally just drawing like a loop at this point. That one's a little bit better, but like, I guess that one's like okay. But I don't really like the vertical design on those, honestly. Either way, I'm pumped with the one I got, so I'm happy about it.
And the gold on the black is pops real nice.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. I think it's just honestly a better looking card in the end. Sick. I'm so happy I got that though. I feel relieved, honestly. Let's see here. Carbon Clabber said, but did you win a Ron Perlman Pacific Rim Auto? I did not. Did you? Did you win one? We got the Ethan Salas Super Auto 1/1 there, PSA 8, sold for $5,000. So I don't know if we've seen actually. Let me see if we've seen any other Ethan Salas Super Fractor sales in the last, you know, however many months.
It's a pretty healthy sale for a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, right. Actually, there is another Super Fractor Auto, I guess I'm forgetting about, which would have been the insert Super Auto from the same set, but it's not like a base set Super Auto. The Shellact, I think, was pulled recently by Filth Bomb. But this is the first one there that ended up selling for $36,000. Ooh. And then there was a more recent sale of the Shellact non-auto that did $820. There was the Sapphire non-auto. First super that did $1,400, which seems like a little low in all honesty. And then, yeah, we haven't seen the super auto 1/1 from Sapphire sell yet.
Got it.
Congratulations there, Cardboard Collaborative. I'm glad you got that, and I hope you enjoy your new PC. I'm assuming it would be. We are now down to 9:57, which is approaching pretty closely here to our closing of the show. As we get into 10 central, normally it's about 10 minutes after that the show starts to end. We'll run the giveaway for the Derek Jeter starting at 10 in 3 minutes. I gotta get my computer plugged in really quick. I don't know if you can hear. I gotta get my computer plugged in quick before it dies because I gotta run the giveaway through my laptop. So, all right. Look at this right here. Van Basten.
Is that the Van Basten rookie sticker?
Yeah, it's 4,500 PSA 7 with the eye appeal top 15% PSA pop 1/2 at 5 higher.
It's a good looking card. or sticker, I should say.
How much is the Wemby Black 1/1 worth? Probably like $1 million. Not even lying right now. I mean, you literally see his gold shimmer sell for like $50,000 out of 10. That's like a gold shimmer. The gold out of 10, or the gold out of 10, like the hobby gold out of 10 would probably be like a $300,000 card. So, I mean, why would there not be people who are spending $300K or above that who would want to bid up, you know, that thing to $1 million, which I could see it doing, man. It's crazy, but it's probably true. I mean, you're probably talking the biggest modern basketball card we've seen actually in the market since probably like the Luka Logo Man 1/1 NT. And we haven't seen the Prism Black Luka in the market because supposedly it still has been pulled, or it's been pulled and someone's just been playing the biggest prank ever on the hobby for the last 5 years.
You can't think it's been pulled, right?
No, I don't think it's been pulled. There's no way that multi-million-dollar card, unless it's pulled in the exact right person's hands who doesn't need to or want to sell that, you know? Yeah. Like, it's hard to believe that wouldn't have been pulled.
Or, I mean, like, if you pull it, like, it's also like you haven't said anything to anyone.
Yeah, that too. And, you know, everything leaks in somehow, some way these days. So, I have seen a lot of people reference this as the Black Finite. I don't know if that is just how people are calling it, but it is a black prism, not a finite, because the finites are different. Technically, like the finites are the football version, and then there was a finite Giannis zone from 2013. So Panini, once again, inconsistencies, not to say that Topps also doesn't switch their parallels per sport and color and set and stuff too. It kind of happens way too much, in my opinion, in the market. A nice standardized set for the sets alone. I'm not even saying between all the products. I'm even saying like just Prism. Like, that's just that black one of ones, not Black Finite and the other one. And when is there one and not the other, you know? But either way. What else we got ending here tonight? We are nearly at 10, so I'm going to start that giveaway up soon. The Deshaun Watts, I know that this card probably used to be – actually, I should look, man. It's probably supposed to be like a $10,000 card. He has a huge year ahead of him. All of the talk right now is on these quarter. I can't believe I haven't even brought this up yet, honestly. I guess I haven't seen a card selling to him tonight. But all the talk right now is on the 2021, 2022 QBs are getting traded. Fields, Pickett, Mac Jones, all these guys failed. Zach Wilson will get traded here for a bag of chips pretty soon. But Deshaun Watson was traded for 3 first-round picks after being suspended.
Yeah.
And was given – at the time, the biggest guaranteed contract in NFL history. What are the Browns thinking?
They're not. I mean, even at the time, you were like, I mean, you want to build a team, like, you know, character has a lot to do with it. For me personally, like, you're bringing in a guy that had a lot of red flags to begin with, and you basically, you know, the crazy thing, like, I think the biggest thing for me is the Browns are still a decent team.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, that's the thing for me. Like, you gave up those 3 firsts, and you're still really competitive.
Yeah.
Baker's not playing terrible. I mean, you basically leverage the team to get – I mean, you basically bring in Deshaun Watson for a king's ransom where you had Baker who wasn't that bad.
I really think that they did Baker extremely dirty. Man, he brought them to nearly the AFC Championship game. Was he in the AFC Championship game, excuse me? Or it was against the Chiefs when Mike Kafka or whoever. No, Chad Henne had to come in. I can't remember if that was the AFC Championship game or not. Maybe someone else can. It could have been. But either way, someone I'm sure will remind me here in a second. But the point is that, like, legit, he was playing through an injury in that last season. He had torn labrum. They totally just sold him off and blamed him and kind of scapegoated him.
Yep.
And then they paid massive price on Deshaun Watson, have done nothing.
Yeah.
That defense plus Joe Flacco's miraculous half a season brought them to the playoffs this year.
Yep.
And I think they're stupid for letting Baker go. Baker's far better than Deshaun Watson has been since that point.
Yeah, I feel bad for Baker. I'm glad he found a landing spot, and I'm glad, you know, he's getting a chance because I think he deserves it.
I agree, man. He got a 3-year deal, $100 million. I think about 60 to 80% of it was guaranteed, somewhere in that range, which is massive for him, man. I'm happy for him. I've always Obviously, I'm a Longhorns fan, so never really want the Sooners to do well in any capacity, or I don't, but I've always had a hard time ever cheering against him. I actually cheered for him in many situations because I just feel like he's always kind of the guy that everyone's kind of saying, you can't do it. And then, yes, he gets drafted number one, and now the Browns are like, no, you can't do it. And now it's like, yes, I can, man. I just won a playoff game, beat the Eagles, you know, had a great season. Speaking of guys that used to be in the Brewers, I don't know if we ever brought that up, but Josh Hader, five, red, first, Bowman Chrome. This card, I don't think ever would have sniffed 750 before signing back with the Astros, who have now, you know, won multiple World Series since 2017, regardless if you think it's been one or two. But my goodness, for a reliever auto to even touch nearly $1,000, even if it is red out of five, going to be honest, hasn't really been that great since he was reliever of the year with the Brewers. Didn't have a great season the year we traded him. Hasn't been really great for the Padres since then. So let's see if his big contract with the Astros pays off and if he can get back to being dominant. As one who is a fan of a team that now has a reliever of the year that's injured for 3 months, I'm sad. So we'll see what happens. Devin Williams, stress fractures. Yeah, it stinks. Absolutely stinks.
Yep.
Two-time reliever of the year over the last three seasons, and going to be missing him for the first part of the year, which is going to hurt bad. All right, I got to get this giveaway going, everyone. I'll give you all like 3 minutes, 10:07 Central Time. Please get your number ones in the chat quickly here. You got very little time as we watch this wind down. Andrew, I know you've been a longtime viewer yourself here too. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared for the end of the show to have to figure out which card is going to end first?
I can try. I'm not going to say that. Yeah. No beginner's luck here. I will not win. I've seen too many of these to know.
Do you know what would be absolutely embarrassing is if Andrew ends up picking the person that gets the giveaway right on his first time, like full on episode. And I'm just sitting here like 113 episodes later, just being down bad. Like, dude, I have losses every single time Andrew picks the right. It's going to happen. I'm convinced.
Probably not. You know me. I'm not the luckiest guy in the world. That's why I don't get into breaks.
Or you do and you get nothing.
Or I get nothing. And then I remind myself why I don't get into breaks. I'm
just messing with you.
And then I come back again and again thinking that it'll change and it never does.
But yeah, let's see here. I think they were pretty close to this auction, getting down to 24 items left only. Maybe if I refresh it, we will be there. So basically, Andrew, keep a watch. Yeah, we are. I need you to go and look at the auction and let me know which card do you think. You got 30 seconds here and pick one that is probably, you know, moving on to next round. Green. Which one do you think is gonna be the last one standing?
All right, I got you. I'm gonna bring it up, but
I'm gonna go with the Pocket Monsters PSA 9 here. You can look at my computer too if you want.
Yeah, you can scroll down there.
So we got like a ticket there of Kobe moving out. We've got like this Japan baseball Lou Gehrig card right there.
Yep.
We got a Ty Cobb souvenir sheet. We got this other Ty Cobb Japanese baseball card. The Princess Elizabeth Classic or a Jedi Millennium Falcon here.
And that's all that's left in your score.
I mean, there's a couple more. You got Eevee Pokemon, and then you got, yeah, that's about it.
All right, well, give me the Millennium Falcon.
All right, let's see how he does, everyone. Dude, Peg Junk, I've never picked the correct person to get the giveaway, but I got this Pocket Monsters card, so we'll see how it goes. All right, we got 1 minute left here, everyone, before the giveaway closes. 1 minute left. Andrew's got that Falcon. I've got this Pocket Monsters, which I'm not really confident I'm going to move on. Andrew, I'm not moving on either. I think I'm going to get kicked to the curb here pretty quickly. Let's see. Are you out already?
I think I'm out. What? I'm seeing red, so.
Wait. No, I think you might be still going. I think you're still going. I'm still going too, I think. Oh, no, I'm out. We're both out. It just didn't refresh. We're done. First round, we're both done. Unfortunate. Terrible. Unfortunate.
Sorry, chat. Terrible performance.
It's all right. I didn't do any better, so. All right, I'm trying to get this giveaway situated here. Then we'll run the giveaway for the Jeter. Yeah, maybe I get lucky finally. I've had plenty of luck recently with pulling some super fractors, but I have zero luck with this. How many cards we got left here?
No, not many, right?
Let's see. No, not many. I think it's down to like 10 left. All right. I got to get this giveaway pull up, and then we'll have the real fun. All right, we don't have too many out here. Not too many names tonight. So this is my time, everyone. This is my time.
This is your time.
One, two. All right, Andrew, which name are you picking here? I'm going with Joe.
Oh, is that who you picked?
Yeah, I'm going with Joe.
I'm going Hector.
Hector. All right, here we go. Tom with the dub. Tom with the dub.
I was down at 17th.
Oh, you're
quite low there. Yeah.
Sorry.
Luck.
Sorry, Joe.
Tom, congratulations.
Yeah, Tom, you get a Derek Jeter high tech of 99, PSA 8, I believe. So, Tom, why don't you send us an email to the info or to the email that's dropped in the chat there, info@slabsocks.com, and I will get that sent on over to you here whenever possible. And, you got to let me know, though, what your PWCC identity is. So go to the top right, go down to preferences, and then there's a key that you can copy and shoot that over via email to me. So only a few items left on the auction tonight here, everyone. Give it a look if you want to. There's only 4 items left, but I know Andrew's got early morning, so we're going to shut down the episode here right now at 10:10. Just a couple older ones here. But if anyone else has anything let us know. But in the end, Andrew, man, thanks for a great episode. I know no Julian tonight, but I was excited to hear about your cards that you were interested in, and also the one that congrats on winning it, man.
Hey, exciting night. Appreciate you having me. Thanks for letting me chat cards. It's always great to talk, and appreciate the chat.
Ah, real music. There you go. Hyping up Andrew. We love to see it. Yeah, Andrew did a great job, and we'll be looking forward to Julian rejoining next week as too. But everyone, thanks so much for joining this week's Slabstock Sundays episode. Enjoy March Madness this week with the tournament kicking off on Thursday. If you want to find us this week, make sure to join Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday's release day breaks for different products on Fanatics Live, like Tops from UFC, like Bowman Inception Baseball on Friday, like Tops Dynasty Baseball on Friday, and our likely last day of Mobin's Best University Basketball Delight on Thursday. Otherwise, have a great rest of your night, everyone. Thanks, Tony, for being here in Craven Cards, and we'll see you all in the next episode.